You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we're powered by SID Media. On the line, we're joined by Pastor Joseph Farah here as we are doing our lesson study. We are on lesson number 5. We are, and it's titled Excuses to Avoid Mission. Excuses to Avoid Mission. So we have been, we started it off on Monday. So you can go to ssnet.org in order for you to follow through there with the lesson. My pastor, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning. And how are you doing today?
I am good, my pastor. There is no excuse for not being good.
Oh, yeah. No, there is no excuse indeed.
Indeed. Pastor, before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Sure. Thank you. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are grateful once again for the privilege that we may be able to share and encourage one another as we respond to the mission that you have assigned all of us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, we are speaking our excuses, and then it says their false views. So you, if you can may take us through that study, and then we're also today going to be looking at the excuse of inconvenience.
Okay, thank you. Like we had given the background last Monday, the place where Jonah was going, I think the biggest challenge that he had was that he was scared.
Mm-hmm.
He was scared, and because he was scared, he wanted to run away. Of course he did. And the sad part is that when he was running away, in his mind, the Bible says he was running away from the presence of God. Now, the question is, how do you do that? How do you run away from the presence of God? Because when he is assigned to go to Nineveh, the Bible says that he decided to go to Joppa and then take a boat that is going to Tarshish. And his intention was to run away from God. And the question now is, who does that? And how do you do it? Because even when you go to Joppa, God is there. When you go to Tarshish, God is there. So what the biggest motivation for Jonah was that he was scared of the people of Nineveh. And because he was scared of the people of Nineveh, he thought they were too powerful, they were too big, and his God was too small. And usually, if that be the case, then we are in trouble. And as he gets on board of that ship that is going in the opposite direction, he decides to sleep. And for him, all is well. You know, we know the story, how the storms would come and all these things. And then the people were on board, the Marines who were on board, when they noticed that, they said, hey, each one let him call upon his God so that we could be saved. They did all they could, but their gods could not save them, save the God of Jonah, you know. And when the captain comes to Jonah and says, hey, slumber, how sleepest thou? How do you afford to sleep peacefully when we are in trouble? Everybody, children, men and women are crying. Where do you find the sleep? How do you sleep? And then they now request him to say, also, you call on your God. And look at the description. He says, well, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. I am a worshiper of the true God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And actually, all these things you are seeing, it is because of me. You know, it is because of me. And so if you want to be safe, throw me in the water. Now, for Jonah, it was easier for him to commit suicide and die than for him to go and preach the message to the people of Nineveh. He was prepared to die, because when he said, throw me in the water, that was a suicide mission.
True.
You know, that was a suicide mission. So he's thrown in water, but he had no idea that you cannot run away from the presence of God, because even in the water, God is present. And so providentially, God provides a fish. that will swallow him and take him to the right place. It takes him to the right mission where he's supposed to be. Transport provided, allowances paid for, meals provided.
Yes.
So everything is sorted. And probably in my imagination, I'm thinking probably Jonah is saying, God, if I survive, I am not sure whether I'm dead or not, but should I survive this, I am going straight to Nineveh to preach.
Mm.
You know, there are sometimes we have given such prayers when we are just overwhelmed with fear.
Mm.
And probably we don't even mean what we are saying. Lo and behold, when the fish vomits him, he probably reads a signpost that is saying, welcome to Nineveh.
Mm.
And he can't believe it.
God, what he was shocked.
So I think Jonah had, he was overwhelmed with fear. That was one of his excuses. And number two, I think Jonah had put himself in the position of God where he judged the people of Nineveh. I mean, like we indicated last Monday, that these were savages, these were barbarians, these were cold-hearted. And so, according to Jonah, he was thinking, of what use will these people be to God?
Mm.
I mean, they are evil people. And sometimes we have given such kind of excuses. Maybe you look at this close friend of yours, you look at this relative of yours, they are all drunk, they have pierced their bodies, the nose, the tongue, every part of the body is pierced. And you look at them and say, hey, I can't preach to this one. The gospel can't penetrate here. This one is gone.
Mm.
That is how we are looking at them.
Mm.
From our judgment, we are looking at, no, this girl has too many tattoos. I think she's a write-off.
Mm.
This guy with all these dreads. And so by the appearance of some people, we write them off. We judge them thinking that the way we are looking at them, that is exactly how God is looking at them.
Mm.
Right? And we're not asking the question to say, okay, fine, how is God looking at these people? Mm. Yes, I think they may have no interest in God.
Mm.
But what does God think about them?
Mm.
So I just gave a scenario where you have somebody with tattoos. I remember one time, you know, I was preaching, and then I was preaching actually from the story of the blind man,
okay.
blind Bartimaeus, and then, you know, preaching so powerfully, and then I made a call, and the first person to stand from that preaching was a blind man. Then I started, you know, thinking in my heart to say, what is this man? What is this man looking for?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I was preaching from this story, but hey, let's hope he's not coming to request me to
to open his eyes.
Yeah. So sometimes we get messed up. Like I mentioned, that we are not the message, we are just messengers.
Mm.
So the owner of the message is God, and God has a way he talks to his people.
Mm.
And so if we are going to be instruments that God is using to communicate to other people, we must not block them because of how they appear.
Mm.
And that should not be our excuse of saying, this one is a write-off, this one drinks, this one cannot have interest. And by the way, have you noticed that we do not really have a thrust to penetrate through to the powerful people in society? We do not do well. If I were to ask if at all we even have a program, let's say, to evangelize to the head of state, maybe to traditional leaders, and all those guys of big influence, usually the temptation to say those guys are busy. And I think they have no interest in God because they are comfortable. So sometimes we have reduced the gospel to people who are struggling, to say these are more receptive to listen to this message now. When you look at the current setup that we have, is that it is God who initiates the mission, you know. It is not our mission. It is God's mission.
Mm.
So it's God who initiates it. Even when we think that these people cannot get it, it is because we are benumbed by our judgments, our worldview, how we look at people. And even Jonah, when he wakes up, he's in Nineveh. You know, the thing, the city was about 45 miles, which was about 60 kilometers. And the guy does not even stand to preach. The Bible says he was running. You know, he was running. So he didn't even give people time to ask him questions. You know, so he was just running to say, is it 30 or 40 days from now, this city is going to be overthrown. You are going to die. You are going to perish. You know, such a stern, such a stern message, nothing like, no. You people of Nineveh, you have the grace of God is upon you.
Mm.
He is giving you this grace period, and so you need to make things right.
Mm.
He doesn't show that there's this God of love.
Mm.
He presents God to say to the people of Assyria or Nineveh to say, you guys, 30 or 40 days from now, you are going to die.
Mm.
Like there's no option. You are dying. And he does not stop to say, maybe they needed a clarification on, okay, what are we supposed to do? How do we make things right? He doesn't give them that opportunity.
Mm.
He just runs through. He just runs like a madman. And I want to imagine the people are wondering to say, hey, who is that guy?
Yeah.
And people could be saying, he looks like he's an Israelite.
Mm.
But what is this? He is saying we are going to die. So what are we supposed to do? And they say, we don't know. He didn't say. You know? He didn't say. And so Jonah runs 60 kilometers nonstop. who runs 60 kilometers
nonstop? Yeah.
So he runs and then he goes to climb like a small mountain. And then begins to wait for bombs. You know, he begins to wait for fire and brimstone to descend on the people of Nineveh. But you know, the goodness of God, the grace of God, is that it is always sufficient in our weakness. Because even in our conscience, even in our hearts, in the heart of hearts, he communicates. And so the message reaches to the king, and the king responds promptly. He calls for a national fast. He calls for a national revival. Now imagine
if he didn't go.
If we could penetrate these leaders and the things they are capable of doing. If we could bring them on board to say, hey, on your Facebook account, you have millions of followers. If only you could post a verse, how many people could react to that? And you know, these people of influence and things like that. But sometimes we just write them off to say, these, you know, so these are our excuses, you know?
Yeah.
These are our excuses.
And everywhere we look for an excuse in Fundis, you know, we're going to get it. I think when I'm now, like, when I read the study, I had made some notes, but now, like, at a quick glance now, the Tuesday one there says that, John's experience in the belly of the fish was a dramatic show of God's love and mercy. And Jonah's prayers revealed that he didn't meet God's message of love, you know, meaning that in most of the things, as much as they are, we make excuses a lot, but we should be able to see the acts that God has done, you know, to show us his love and mercy. So if maybe you can expatiate on that one, the issue of inconvenience. It's a lot.
Actually, Jonah was a beneficiary of the grace of God, the love of God, because he had run away from the mission, you know. But then when God finds him, he does not react like Jonah reacted. But instead, he provided a place for Jonah to sleep. He provided fish. I mean, in my imagination, he provided him good fish inside the fish for him to eat. and enjoy. I think God made his stay as much comfortable as possible. God made it convenient for Jonah to, you know, to be safe under those circumstances. And it should have dawned on his mind to say, I deserve to die because I signed up to die. I told the marine guys to throw me in water, and so I'm supposed to die, but I'm not dead. And so this second chance that God gives to Jonah was supposed to be extrapolated to others as well, to say, hey, this God I present to you, he gave me a second chance, and he is extending that to you. But usually that was not the case with our brother Jonah, and we always find ourselves in such instances where God has been kind, God has been graceful to us, and you know, even this life that we are having today, we are not better than those who have gone ahead of us, powerful leaders, our relatives and friends, and here we are. How are we making the most of the time that God has given us? Second chances that God keeps bringing our way almost on a daily basis, and it's like we are not so much appreciative, and we don't want to extend that call to our loved ones or people we come in contact with.
Indeed. And then the last one there that I'm putting there says that the good news is that in spite of Jonah's inadequacies, because we all have those, right? It's not just Jonah, all of us, we have those. God worked powerfully in bringing the Ninevites to repentance. Sadly, Jonah did not share in the blessings of heaven's joy. So meaning that, Pastor, even though we know that we have our own faults here and here, you know, we have our iniquities, we must not stop and not share God's word. We must not stop the mission, but go ahead. God will work us through. God will work it out even whilst we are busy working there. Because sometimes we want to wait and say, no, I want to be perfect. I want to fix this. I want to finish that before we go out into the mission.
Actually, the truth of the matter is that we are not the message. We are simply messengers. And God can also still use a crooked stick to draw a straight line. So it is just that we are sometimes conditioned to underrate the grace of God. God has put it in black and white that his grace is sufficient in our weakness. But we always want to trust in our knowledge, in our skills, in our education, in our positions, and all these things. God can still use anyone as long as we are available. So let us not wait for a time when we will feel that we are good enough. And the question is, how do you even qualify yourself to be good enough? Because our righteousness is as filthy rag. So all we need is to avail ourselves and allow the Spirit of God to work through us. It is the sinners working out the salvation of their fellow sinners, that we may experience the joy of the amazing grace of God, that it has the power to change even those in our judgments we could think they are not supposed to be beneficiaries of the grace of God. So they should never be a time when we think that we need to be perfect for the work. No, we need to be available. Ellen White says, God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called.
Yes.
While we are in the process of working with God, he perfects us. You know, he works on our tempers. He perfects our judgments. He gives us discernment. It's a lifelong process. So the more you give yourself in the hand of God, the more you begin to wonder, to say, hey, where did that temper go? I used to be short-tempered. I never used to tolerate such things. Where do I find the grace to even listen to all these things that people are saying about me? Some few years ago, I would react. I would just burst, you know, into anger and things like that. But this time around, I think there's something going on it is because the grace of God is working in you and through you.
Indeed, the grace of God, my pastor. I'm going to ask that you pray for us so that, this one, the excuses of inconvenience and false views, you know, they don't get a grip on us, and then make sure that we don't do the mission. And then on Friday, when we speak, we're going to be speaking about uncomfortable confrontations, as well as Here I Am, Send Me. So if you can please just pray for the lesson we've had, Pastor.
Sure. Dear Lord, we are grateful. You have spoken to us and through us, reminding us that in this work, it is not ours, it is yours. You just give us a privilege to co-labor with you. Everyone who has participated in listening, I pray in a special way that you may bless them, and may you deal with them kindly today as they go about their businesses and their interactions with other people. Keep us safe till we meet again on Friday, and may you continue to bless us dearly. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, thank you so much. Till we chat again on Friday.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.